Lifestyle matters. It's more than money.
I'm Faisal Carmelli and my co-host here, Dave Popowich, both of us wearing sweaters. And it's not that cold outside.
It's been beautiful, right? I'm happy to say I missed that entire cold snap with 6 days in Mexico.
I do not like you. Dave was away in Mexico with that snap that we received. He was in positive 35 degree weather. We were in minus 100 here in Calgary. So a big difference. Speaking of big differences, there's been a change. I'm going to use the terminology in our industry, a two handle in inflation rate, which means 2% something. 2.9% core inflation rate number comes out in the United States. Are we there? Can they start cutting interest rates?
Is it a Goldilocks scenario, right? That's going to be the
question. I'm getting tired of that statement.
Why?
Because people talk about Goldilocks as if it was one or the other in choices. Too hot, too cold. What did Goldilocks do at the very end?
I don't know.
She found the right fit, the right temperature. It was just right. Everybody talks about the extremes of Goldilocks' story.
Well, the
solution was that she found the right one.
The balance doesn't
sell papers.
Too big,
too small. No, it was perfect.
Not good headline.
Can we stop using Goldilocks?
No, I like that term.
I think this is just exactly what the Fed has been talking about. Surprise, surprise. We are now at a point that we're below 3%.
Right.
The market,
and trending down.
And
right?
trending down. Right. You know, it wasn't too long ago. We were at 8%. And now we're at 2.9% and trending down.
Right.
The question that comes up now is, do they start cutting interest rates in the U.S. and what do they do in Canada? You and I were sitting down. We actually put a video together to speak to our clients about what's going to happen in Canada. And outside of that video, you and I were talking about what's happened in the States.
Yeah.
Here's my take, and I want your thoughts on this one. Okay. With the interest rates where they are in the United States, I do not feel with the current data that the Federal Reserve is going to cut interest rates in March. Maybe, and just maybe May, I don't think so, but maybe May, given with the current data. I think the issue now is how hard is it going to get from 2.9 to 2 point something lower, 2.5, closer to 2. If they go too early and cut and this inflation comes back up, is a bigger risk to credibility than coming late to the game on it after. They can wait and wait as long as they got a two handle.
Right.
So this is where I think that the U.S. Federal Reserve is at. When you look at the Bank of Canada, it's completely different in my books. The per capita spending or spending per person is actually lower than it was in 2019. And so if we're spending that much less in this country, in Canada, I think we're going to get really aggressive in the second half for interest rates.
Because you think the economy is actually it's slowing faster than what the data right now shows.
The trajectory of the numbers will show itself faster in Canada on the downside than in the United States, which would then make the Bank of Canada cut faster. Now, a lot of the pundits or peers in our industry are suggesting that Canada will wait for the U.S. to cut first, then they will cut. I don't know about that one.
So all really good points. Maybe the question we should be asking is, does it matter? No, of course it matters in the big picture. What I'm really getting at is, I think people sometimes forget. We always talk about the crystal ball, right? The crystal ball not being clear in, you know, our world. And when we say that, it's a euphemism it's an easy way to say to people that it's very difficult to have GPS coordinates in our business. It's a compass, right? And I think what we have to do is we have to have a compass that says, are we moving north, south, east, or west? So question, are interest rates this year trending higher, lower, or are they staying flat? Ask yourself that big question, right?
Okay.
And I think, other than the impact on short-term volatility, and people freak out about that, Faisal, but your thoughts on this, I think if directionally we are to say that we are at peak interest rates and interest rates are going down, probably by the end of the year, it's less relevant of whether it went down in March, May, or June than it is directionally they went down and by how much, right? So I think that we need to, when we're planning and having these conversations, and people in general, need to start asking that compass question, not the GPS question.
the impact of what we've just been talking about to the average person going through retirement is as follows. I think one of the biggest impacts were, oh my God, finally, interest rates are as high as they are, 5%. Let's put that number out there.
Yeah.
It's not going to be 5% for long.
Right.
It's trending down. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge, wink, wink. This is going down in interest rates. So when you're hoarding cash in a savings account,
right,
and I'm using the word hoarding,
right,
meaning anybody who's just parking money that doesn't need that money for a time-specific reason greater than 3 years.
Right.
Okay? Let's just kind of define that. There's people who jumped into GICs. You speak to bond fund managers throughout North America, and they were saying their biggest competitor in 2023 was the short-term GIC or bond market.
Yep.
That took money away from active managed bond managers, and these individuals just parked money because that was the best case. They were wrong. The investor should not have just parked money for the 1 year.
Right.
They should have invested in the bond market,
right,
at least with our strategy, when we saw, you know, an 8% rate of return in the bond portfolio.
Yeah.
That's a nice number to have,
right,
comparisons to what cash was or what a GIC was. But GICs are going to be coming up for maturity in the next 6 months.
Right.
Quite a bit of it. There's a lot of money in what's called high interest savings account. Quite a bit of it. And now we have that risk that people didn't calculate when they got in, and that's reinvestment risk. Here comes the problem. Where do you go after you've seen a nice return in the stock market, a nice return in the bond market, and you have cash that you're deploying back into something?
Right.
Where do you put this capital? And we can talk about, it's all about your plan, think long term. We know most Canadians don't think about investing over the long term.
Correct.
They think calendar year by calendar year, yeah, or at any point in time, they want to look at their statement.
Yeah.
Okay. So now, Dave, the question I have for you, you've got this money in high interest savings account, or your GIC matured, having this entire economic backdrop, knowing that interest rates are trending down most likely. Where do you put your money?
Yeah. Well, I think that to your point, the risk that most people face is this idea of recency risk, right? I've been beat up, shell-shocked. I mean, 2022 is a tough year on a lot of people, and they're stuck. They're frozen, right? Now, you look forward, given the forecast. If that is your forecast, you believe interest rates are trending lower. Well, the implication on cash is it's no longer going to be king, because your cash interest rate is going to follow the Bank of Canada down.
Yep.
Okay, so rates are falling there. Well, when rates fall, there's implications on other asset classes. Let's not talk about the alternatives. Let's just talk about the traditional asset classes, right? Remember in 2022, when rates were going up, bond prices were falling. Well, guess what happens? In general terms, when interest rates come down, bond prices tend to appreciate. So that's an area you might want to explore if you've got cash sitting on the sides for something other than, as you said, liability matching a short-term liability. And it has implications, of course, on the economy, right? As borrowing costs come down, disposable income goes up, all of those things. And what does that impact? Well, that impacts company profits,
mm-hmm,
right? So it's important, again, from a GPS and a compass perspective, to pick your direction, okay? Perhaps don't try to be so specific that on this day, something's going to happen. That generally doesn't work out.
Correct.
Right? And then ask yourself the question, which asset classes on these broad terms makes sense?
You've led with the bond market. I'm going to lead with the stock market. Here's a reason why some people who've got long-term money, greater than 5 years, they've put in cash or GICs that are coming up, that they can do something with it. I think the conversation about fundamental price-to-earnings ratio has a big risk if you just measure it on that. The market's expensive. I shouldn't be putting my money in now.
You and I argue all the time.
Oh my God. Yeah. This is... Price to earnings ratio does not tell you where the market is heading. Ask anybody who bought Amazon as an example 10 years ago what the price to earnings was and look at that stock.
Right.
Or Apple.
Right.
Look at that stock. The reason why I mentioned those two companies is because they are super growth companies. So isn't that the idea that as interest rates fall, it becomes cheaper capital? The good quality growth companies will continue to grow at a faster clip than its competition. There's the opportunity. Now, all of this is a big cluster, you know what. How do you do it? Where do you do it? What's the best way to structure your portfolio as you transition to a live in retirement?
Right.
We're going to talk about that at our upcoming seminar on Tuesday, March 5th, 7 p.m. at the Carriage House Inn. You need to register for this. So go to morethanmoneyradio.com to register. That's morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
All right, stick around after the break. We're going to talk to Rob Cross about changing the way you think to improve your retirement. You're on QR Calgary and More Than Money.